The reading from the first letter of St. John is kind of one of the more difficult readings to interpret properly. I'm just going to focus on one part, the easier part. And by the way, happy feast of the holy name of Jesus, which is why we chose that introductory song. So there you go. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God, yet so we are. Then he says, Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed, but we do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure as he is pure. So there's something happening here where John is telling us, right now, through baptism, we are children of God because we have been incorporated into the mystical body of Christ. And therefore, we are incorporated into that of God the Son. So that makes us sons and daughters of the Father. But then he says, there's something greater that is coming. And he says, we know that when it's revealed, we will be like him, we will be like the Father, because we will see him as he is. So this is the thing. He's saying that sight, vision of God transforms us and makes us God-like. The church fathers didn't hesitate to use the words, there were a couple different words that they had. In Greek it would be theosis, in Latin, it comes from Latin. The words would either be divinization or deification. It means the same thing. It means you are transformed into God. Now, obviously, understood, there's only one God. And, you know, you are not the creator of heaven and earth and all the stars. But what it means is, by participating in God's Spirit, to the extent that his life is living in us, we start becoming transformed and changed, and we become godlike, and his life starts to grow more and more in us, and we start doing things that only God can do, such as theological charity. Faith, hope, and charity is, those are things that only God can enable a creature to do. And the following line, everyone who has this hope, so this is something we're aspiring to, transformation into God, which is why when we look at saints, and you see them, and at the same time, you see God. You look at a Mother Teresa, or Padre Pio, or John Paul II, or any of these saints that we've had in relatively modern times where you can actually see photographs of them or videos, and you see the way that they act. I mean, in our times, there was Benedict Rochelle and Mother Angelica and I don't know who else. But anytime we see people that are just flat out holy and you recognize, okay, that's a holy person, but they always make us aspire to God. They always kind of, in a certain sense, make us see God. What's happening is because they have been gradually transformed more and more into God. And God has changed their lives, so they become God-like, and they communicate and irradiate God. It says, anyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure, for he is pure. And this is the second thing. In order to see God truly and be able to recognize God and the things of God, we need to purify our hearts. In Christian life, that would be called ascesis. Ascesis, like ascetical life, which means that, especially in the early stages of the spiritual life, what are the things we need to give up, cut off, reject, that pull us down? And as I've mentioned recently in some of the homilies, that St. Thomas says, and it aligns with the Beatitudes, there's a Beatitude that says, Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Pure of heart in the broad sense, the first sense being chastity, but in the broader sense, blessed are the pure of heart, those who are not attached to things, those that are not certain sense, covered up with the filth of the world and of sin. So purity of heart is going to imply detachment, obviously, from the whole sexual purity area, but also then detachment from material things, detachment from wealth, detachment from all the things that we can tend to gravitate to. And again, Thomas Aquinas tells us, the first sin that causes spiritual blindness is lust. The second is avarice, which is greed for money. So right there, you've got good basic outline of what this purification of heart is going to reveal or consist in. And when we are purified of that, then we truly shall see God. And we sometimes wonder, why is it that sometimes when we talk to people or listen to people, and it's like, life doesn't make sense, and I don't get it, and the church, and why has God abandoned me? And it's like, they don't see. And it's not that they're evil, horrible people, it's just that they are attached to stuff. And maybe they've got some habits of sin that are pulling them down, and they simply don't get it. Like St. Paul, when the scales fell from his eyes. So, now, today being the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, what is one of the great ways of purifying our sight, purifying our mind, purifying our thoughts? One thing is simply to keep your eyes fixed on holy images, images of Christ. There's something about, for example, in Eastern theology, the Greek Orthodox and the Eastern churches, the guys with the beards and the chains and all the lamps and everything. Why are icons so important? Because it's by constantly gazing upon images of holy things that our eyes and then our minds become purified, and then we start to see God. The same is true of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has power. There's that one horribly redundant charismatic song, "There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain," and they just sing it over and over and over and over again. But there's truth to it. The holy name of Jesus, when pronounced in holiness, not in the way that your mom and dad pronounce it, "Jesus Christ," no, not that way. There's power when simply in invoking constantly the name of Jesus that purifies our hearts and therefore enables us to see God.